It's so easy when circumstances turn against us, when life seems dark and we're not sure how to move forward and we don't know what the future holds. It's easy in those moments to doubt. But it's also in those moments that God is most faithful to show up, to be with us, to lift us up, to give us new mercies, and to start a new day with a fresh hope and a renewed spirit in the presence of God. So we're going to look today at this amazing story of Jesus walking on the water and the surrounding texts which set us up to be reminded that even in our darkness, our God is an overcoming God who gives us hope and a future with his promise. We start with the story of Job. Now, most of us don't like to think much about Job. It's a tough story. The theologians tell us that this is likely one of the first books of the Bible ever written. And in it, we find Job, who is faithful to God and doing well. And then we hear the story of Satan coming and saying to God, of course he's doing well, but if bad things happen to him, he will curse you. But that's not exactly what happens. And then we have the story as Job begins to experience the hardships in his life, and hardships they are, he loses literally everything. He loses his property. He loses his family. He loses his health. His friends show up, and honestly, they get a bit of a bad rap. The first thing we hear is one of those friends, he shows up and he just sits with him and says nothing for 2 weeks. That's a good friend. But then they start to suggest that Job wouldn't be experiencing all this if he hadn't done something to make God angry, if he hadn't done something to deserve the punishment he's receiving. And they tell him, repent. If you just repent, God will relent. And it's at that point the story moves on, and Job starts to say, look, I have a case to make. I want to talk to God. I want to make my case. I don't deserve this. Then we get to this place where our text today comes, and God essentially says to Job, who determined the measurements of the earth? Surely you know. And many, many more questions. God doesn't answer Job's inquiry. Instead, God makes it clear that he is much greater, much bigger, much wiser, and Job is just not gonna get it. But God isn't only telling Job, I'm bigger and I'm wiser, don't you dare challenge me. He's actually also communicating to Job, I've got you. I will restore you. I will redeem you. It's in the book of Job that we hear the words, I know that my Redeemer lives. And God does indeed restore Job. He doesn't ever really answer the why, but he blesses him and he gives him a future of wholeness and of healing that demonstrates God's love for him goes beyond the circumstances and the darkness that he was caught up in. We also have a psalm that is assigned for today. It's the reason we chose the Mighty Fortress hymn. It's a psalm that reminds us when David says in Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But David doesn't say that because things are going well. David says that because he's utterly desperate. And he's crying out to God saying, look, you're my only hope. And the psalm goes on to tell us that God not only hears David's cry, but he responds, and he responds in a big way. When God hears David's cry, the whole earth trembles at God's response. And then as you come to the end of our reading, the psalm for today, you get to Psalm 18, verse 16, and it tells us this. He reached down from on high and took hold of me and drew me out of the deep waters. Well, that's confusing because David hasn't talked about being in deep waters. David's not on a ship like Jonah or Paul where a shipwreck is about to happen. He's on perfectly dry ground. So what does this mean? Well, it means that the darkness, the evil, the enemy is about to overwhelm David. He's gonna drown in this. And God lifts him out of that evil. God lifts him out of the chaos. For the water represents the place of evil, the place of chaos, the place that needs to be brought into order. In the creation, God separates the waters, and then he sets up the earth between the waters. In the conversations with Job, God says he makes the borders for the water and tells them where they can and cannot go. This control of the water is a symbolic representation of God containing and controlling the evil and the darkness that is in our world. It's those supporting texts, then, that lead us to the story of Jesus and the story of Jesus walking on the water. Now, you'll remember last week that Jesus has learned about the death of John the Baptist, and he goes off to a place by himself. He needs to regroup. He needs to just be with God and pray for a bit. He needs to be refreshed from the evil that is taking place. But you'll also remember that the crowds follow him. And so last week we talked about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus has not been able to go off by himself, but he feeds the 5,000 and he shows the disciples that they can trust in him to multiply even the scarcity that they have so that it will become an abundance. And after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he sends the disciples away on the boat, and then he dismisses the crowd. And now, finally, he gets to go to a private place to pray. And he spends some time with God being refreshed and renewed. And what are the disciples doing while Jesus is doing that? They're out in the water where the wind is against them and the waves are crashing on them, and Jesus comes walking on the water. Now I want to ask you this question. How many people have you heard of that have walked on water? I'm not talking about frozen lake. I'm talking about actual water. How many people have you heard of that have walked on water? In the background, the people who heard the sermon last night are yelling, two. Yes, not one, two. Jesus walks on water, but then Peter walks on the water. Let's not take away the credit that Peter deserves for having walked on the water. You see, when they see Jesus, they think they see a ghost. They're terrified already because the waves are against them. And then they see this person coming on the water. They think it's a ghost and they're terrified. And Jesus says, it's me. I'm here. You don't have to be afraid. I would love to have that flash up on the wall in those moments in my life when I'm feeling overwhelmed and uncertain, depressed and discouraged, demotivated. I want to hear, I want to know Jesus is here. He's able to overcome the darkness of the circumstances of my life and be present to me. Peter says, and where he gets this, I have no idea. I would never suggest to Jesus to call me out to walk on the water without this text. But Peter's response to Jesus is, if it's you, call me out on the water. Now, I want you to think about that because I think it's a powerful notion. Peter sees that Jesus is walking on the water. He's contained the chaos. He's overcome the darkness and the evil, the symbolism of water. Jesus is over it. And now Peter is saying, I want that too. Help me to also be able to stand secure over the problems and the insecurities and the darkness and the evil that exist in my life and in my world. Give me the power to call me to walk on the water. And Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on the water to Jesus. Now, I would love it if the text could just end right there, because that'd be really nice. Peter asks, Jesus calls, Peter walks on the water, hallelujah. But we know that's not where the story ends, because Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the wind and the storm and he sinks. And I can't help but be reminded of the times in my life when my faith seemed strong and good and I asked God to lead and guide me and he called me out and I was faithful and then things got tough and I failed. Sank. I was overwhelmed by the discouragement and the challenges that I faced. But the good thing about this story is that just as Jesus reaches out and grabs Peter and lifts him back up in the midst of failure, reminds us that we too, if we were to walk on the water, if we were to overcome the challenges we face, if we were to step out in faith, when we doubt, Jesus will be there to catch us. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. It's a good book. It's a good thought. If you want to overcome the darkness and the discouragement that exists in your life, you got to step out in faith. And we do that not by trying harder, but by asking Jesus, Lord, call me out. Call me forward. Because in your power, in your promise, I can stand. I can have hope. I can have assurance, not based on my abilities, but based on your promise. It's a beautiful word that's here in this gospel story. But we're not done yet. We don't want to miss the beauty of Paul's writing in the Romans, to the Romans. He says, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how will someone preach to them if they're not called? You see, we're not called out onto the water. We're not called to overcome the challenges and fears of our own lives for our own sake alone. We're also called out to bring that same hope to others. And right now, in these days, there are a lot of people who are feeling discouraged and divided. There are a lot of people who don't see hope for the future. Some of the people on the news say things like, the coronavirus will always be with us. They don't go on to say, and we will have treatments, and we will have vaccines, and there will be ways that we'll learn to live with this virus in our environment. They just leave us hanging there like, there's no hope. You'll never make it. How will they believe in the hope and the future that God has in store for them? How will they believe if they haven't heard? And how will they hear unless someone preaches, unless someone shares, unless someone bears witness to the hope that they have in Christ? The answer is, you and I are sent. We're sent to bear witness to the promise and goodness of God. The text says, and this is my brother-in-law's favorite verse in the Bible, that how beautiful are the feet of him who brings the good news. Now, this is metaphorical. I'll tell you right now, I don't have beautiful feet. And maybe you don't either. But you are the one with beautiful feet because you are the one who, along with me, we are sent by our Lord into the world to communicate the hope and the promise that is his. And our feet are beautiful because they come to people. They meet them where they are in the midst of the storm. They walk on the water and they bring the hope of the gospel and the promise of God to everyone who will listen. Thanks be to God. Amen.